Hi guys, welcome back to Gray Area. My name is Sierra, and today we have Bastidas joining us. He's a producer and DJ currently on the rise in the tech house scene, plus he's the co-owner of From the South, a record label that's working really hard to expose Latino rhythms to global house music and beyond. So thank you so much for being here with us today, Bastidas. How are you?
Good, and yourself?
I'm good. I'm glad we finally were able to connect. We had a bit of technical difficulties to start, but we made it and we're better for it. So I'm happy to be here with you.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. So I know we've only known you for a few years now, but it's already been pretty apparent that your Latino heritage is super duper important to you. So could you maybe tell us a little bit about how you grew up, or maybe how your heritage or your parents or your community maybe shaped your taste in music?
Oh yeah. Well, I was born in Peru. Mm-hmm. In my Peru, while I was growing up, I was always, actually none of my parents are like musicians or nothing like that, but I have like a huge background that my uncles, everything is the huge music collectors. So all the time I was around when I was growing up as a kid, as a child, and basically I was just into every type of music. And I love to collect music. You know, when I was looking at music videos, that was my addiction, just write the names of the songs. So who was this artist? I was like around 7, 8. I remember like a little notebook. Then after around 11, I moved to USA. And America, and I was already knew everything about like a little bit of DJing, because also my brother used to go a lot. And when I moved actually to Miami, where I am right now, and from there I was just into, again, same collecting music. What is this electronic music, this artist Steve Lawler, or those times. Right now I'm 31, so we're talking about more than 15 years ago, for the early 2000s in Miami when the club space. And then from there, everything started. I was just collecting music. I was in high school. I always liked every genre of music, anything. It can be Latino, merengue, salsa, reggaeton, which back in the days, reggaeton was not accepted for many people. Now it's like the new trend now with electronic music. But back then, I was just into everything. And then I started DJing about my first gear when I was like 12. And I started like just messing around, you know, high school. Me growing up like a Peruvian kid in the US, which is different, knowing the American culture. And then from there, I was just doing house parties. There was around 2000, in the early 2000s, there was all ages parties, that typical all ages parties during the daytime in Miami. I was probably, we're talking about 2005, 6. And around those times, they stopped doing it after, because it got out of control. They used to rent club space. Clubs like that are known in electronic music, and they used to do parties during the day. So I remember every single school from Miami, they used to have their own promoters and their own crew selling tickets. So you used to go to a party. The party started at 10 in the morning and closes at 1 in the morning because of the curfew. So that's how I started. Then I started DJing in those parties. So I was already growing up with that. And nothing from there. I went to school for a sound engineer, SAE. And nothing from there. I was just started again to, like, you know, going more out. And I got many opportunities to start playing in Miami. So basically, that's a little bit start. That's how I start. No, most more like collecting music, always listening.
Yeah, but even it sounds like you even started DJing like super duper young.
Yeah, I started. I remember I was 15. I used to just play everything. Sometimes I used to play in restaurants too when I was young, 16, 17 years old. Anything, you know, because it was like a hustle. So it was already a hustle, already DJing for me around that age. But everything was different because no one accepted electronic music. I remember when I was in high school, no one knew about David Guetta. No one knew about Sinclair. Still, it was not cool. So it was a little bit different. So I think that, because thanks to my family, especially brother, used to always go out and bring me CDs, that I think like I was already like a kid or a teenager that was already into the same music as a guy that was like 28 years old, you know, which I couldn't go to the clubs because I didn't know it was the club until after I was 18. And then, you know, someone gives you your friends like, oh, here, you know, someone that does these IDs, you can get in. And then from there, I started going to in the early, actually 2008, 9 to space. And then from there, everything is just different. From there, it was like, I was just persistence and everything because it was difficult for me too because I was not into promoting, you know. Sometimes it's like, oh, where you grew up, how many people you can bring to the club, no, no, no. So for me, it was more into the opportunity that they really give me to DJ. And when they gave me the opportunity, you know, I had to do my best. And then from there, everything just started. Then I started collecting more music. Then the label, we just started right after pandemic, after 2020. Actually, the label, I created a really long time ago in the early 2010, 2011, when I was starting in space. Because I did a couple of showcases in closed space too, with some artists that are from the South. So I started that little trend from the South. I remember the first one of the parties we used to be Jean-Pierre from New York. So he's the Colombian, and Patrick Groove, there's Argentinian from New York. So we used to kind of work, okay, who's the South Americans that are like, you know, that aren't doing it right now here in the United States, that are like a little bit knowing or playing this in their own cities. So from there, it was just that. And then now it got to, we got Luciano, you know, helping us out with the brand. And it's just changed different. We did this track with him and Carlo too, that is a guy from Ecuador, is really good. And for now, things are doing good with the record label because the first release that we got was hit number one in Minimal Diptych in 5 days. So it was, wow. So now we're just like preparing next. So what's next? Maybe some people think that we're going to release more like, you know, the same style of music. Maybe we have like two or three more that are like that, like Vino Tinto. But we're thinking more now in also what's next. New trends, like trying new tracks for their own language. From South America, they have something like in Peru, in Colombia, it's different, you know, going to record different people, trying new things, you know, for what's next.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you're a super hard worker and you're doing what you love. And it's crazy. We're going to come back to From the South and the Viva Tinto single as well. But just to know that that was already kind of a seed planted with you all the way back, you know, when you first started in Miami. I don't know. That's really cool. And it's cool to see that you've, you know, brought it fully to fruition and your very first single. Yeah. It made it to number one on Beatport. That's really freaking cool. So congratulations on that too, to all of you guys. But I did want to ask, just to backtrack a tiny little bit, how maybe you've seen the scene in Miami shift, because you did get started so early and Miami is such a hot spot for dance music in the States. And especially after, you know, the mid 2010s, when all of a sudden EDM was all over the radio. And like you said before, that no one knew anything about it. So I don't know, do you feel like it's really different there now? Or?
Oh, yeah. No, it's completely different. From back in the days, I remember it was all different, even to the parties. Because I think I see more than Miami, the old Miami DJs were the ones that used to be like the after hours, you know, the classic after hours in Miami, because that's why I think Club Space is known too, because always was after hours Sunday morning party. So from there, it was all different, you know. I see the scene right now, it grew a lot, it's different, you know. After the pandemic was too, also different. Miami changed a lot. Many more people now here. So I think right now it's see a lot of changes in Miami, and I love it, you know, because it's like right now it's like a battle, you know. When you get to Miami, is oh, you have a Miami gig, okay, you know, that's what you're doing now. And now, before, it was a little bit, you know, different.
Yeah, you were throwing high school raves.
it was just different, yeah, back in the days. But now it's everything, like I said, everything changing. Now I'm living also in Medellin, Colombia. So I'm always going back and forth between Medellin, Miami, depending, you know, how my schedule is looking out, like for gigs. And But yeah, Miami, I think is gonna get, more crazier and crazier, because right now just this past out of buzzer, I think the space still is open. I don't even know. The party started on Sunday and then we're Tuesday right now.
Yeah, it's like the Wild West out there, but in the best way. I do. I love it. Well, I'm glad that you brought up Medellin. I was actually gonna ask about that next. You made history last year when you played that first ever block party in the infamous Comuna 13 neighborhood, with WAF. I just wanted to know, maybe can you tell us a little bit about how that event came to be and why it was so special?
Okay, this was really special because it was the first time, my first gig that I got to in Medellin. It was last year, actually. And it was just with WAF. WAF is my longtime friend. So when I saw this tour that was with him, it was, oh, this is awesome. Then I got to Medellin. We went on a tour to this place, the Comuna 13. But then WAF already was in Medellin a couple times before, and then he always had this idea that he was telling me while going to the Comuna 13 to check, because I didn't, to be honest, I'm born and raised in Peru. But I never really got this time because I left like when I was 11 years old, that it wasn't like, how can I explain this? For me, like, I don't even know much my country, Peru. So I got to know more Colombia in 1 month, more than my own country. So I just fell in love. And then this place, the Comuna 13, it was such a like a beautiful place because of what everyone knows, that it was Pablo Escobar's neighborhood. It was so dangerous before. Now it's just touristic. And then WAF tells me this idea, we should do a block party here. And of course, since I'm Spanish and I can speak well Spanish with the own people, we started planning it. But the beginning was WAF's idea. And we were like, wow, this is amazing idea. I said, let's do it. And we planned out everything, I think, in one day. It was amazing because it was when we started playing, we didn't know what was going to happen. And we didn't know if the cops were going to come shut us down or anything. And nothing. And then from there, we just put our table, the decks, we rented everything, the sound, the party started, all the kids, all the ladies that they sell things around, the business become better. In that place, they're looking for tourists, So they can do good to the community. And that day was beautiful for everyone. Everyone was so happy. They made, so much money for their own families and the communities. That it was successful, even though I remember I grabbed a lady that she was renting her house for so people can go to the bathroom because there was no bathrooms. So it was crazy. Everyone was, making their own money. Everyone was happy that people were like, oh, come on. It was free to the community. The people from the normal, the good areas of Medellin, they came. Also, too, it was a mix of everything. So it was beautiful. Then this year we did it bigger, way bigger. This year was really, 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 we got really surprised. And now we're thinking on doing also a real festival next year. So thinking with WAF to do it, like, so we can gather more help for the community, maybe do like some funds, some for like different types of communities that they have in there. So it's something really great. I invite to everyone every year. Everyone that goes there, it's an experience that you need to be there. I don't know how can I explain it. You go and then you were like next day, that was amazing yesterday.
Yeah, well, even in the video, you can see how excited everyone is and how connected everyone is. I mean, it's a tight little space that all of y'all were there in. And it was, yeah, you could tell that it was just something special. And it was so cool because it's not maybe your typical background you would think for like a DJ set video. You just know it like Anjuna Beats, they do their stuff on like these big majestic mountains or out in the middle of the ocean, like these super gorgeous natural places. And this was also really, really beautiful, but in such a different way. There was just this sprawling cityscape stuffed with all these people. Everyone's having a good time. I think it was really great.
It is.
Wish I could have been there. So I want to now talk about your label From the South, and kind of segues into what you were just talking about with bringing in, people and funds and support to Latino communities. Can you tell us a little bit about this mission to, champion this music with From the South and why it's so important to you?
Okay, from the start, it begins so important to me because, for example, one of my favorite DJs, and I think was all time, is Eric Morillo. Because when I grew up in here in Miami, I saw him, that he was like the king of space for a long time. And you know where he was? Latino, like Colombian. So he did something really special. I see bringing those roots into the music, not all the time, but that you have those roots for the with the selection that he used to do. So from there, I learned a lot that there's a lot of South American producers and DJs that they're over there. Obviously, they cannot fly sometimes because visa, getting the visa is difficult for them, but they're such talented people, and then all around. So when I started more like into getting to know more the music, seeing how really it works, I saw that that sometimes in like in Europe, all the Europeans, producers and DJs are seen different than South Americans. But sometimes over there there's the same talent, and it's like the from the South that when I created it was like, let's see if I can push more artists from over there. That really they keep working hard, producing 24/7. And even though there's many great artists that people like Jamie Jones, Marco Carola, Loco Dice, Luciano, and other top artists, there's they always support them, play their music. So I see that there's a big, how can I explain this, community of DJs and producers. They're getting better and better in South America. So from there, we did actually this track, the first track that we did the label, it was with Luciano, and Luciano is from Chile and Switzerland, and also Carlo, which is Ecuadorian. I think Carlo is one of the top producers in South America. He has many good releases and many good labels too. And from there, everything was starting out. Let's see where this take us, but let's hope for the best for everyone. Let's see what's the next, how the next year is looking up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're already crushing it. I mean, yeah, your first single with Luciano and Carlo just came out, what, last month? And I think it's
Yeah.
still cruising in at number one or number two on Beatport right now, which is freaking awesome. And I know that, that release was kind of a long time in the making and long awaited by your fans. Can you maybe just walk us through a little bit about the inception and creation of this track?
The creation of this track.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this track is actually we've done it like 2 years ago. About 2 years ago, it was. I remember by that. By then, I was living in Mexico because in this past 2 years, I've been living in different places just to follow in to see where's best for me. Or sometimes, who never knows. And then we started this track. We have a couple ones. Luciano sent us many projects with different sounds, samples, and then we started creating from there. But then like I told you before, I come from a background that I listen to a lot of music. So for me, that when I started DJing, and when like we go back to space, all this, when you used to play something, you can there was the edits were not like expected sometimes. Like the edits like urban music or hip hop or even reggaeton back then. So now everything after the pandemic was just normal, because it's the new era. Everything is different now. The music, changes. And we started doing these projects, but we started the best way. We were like, if we make this project, it has to be like a record because we don't want it to sound like an edit. So from there, we got this guy Carlo Cortez from Venezuela, and he sent us a couple projects, and we started from them. The projects from him, they already come out as a reggaeton track long time ago. It was like his first music, And from there, we just switch it up, start it all over again. And that's how we did Vino Tinto. And then from there, we were just playing it. Luciano was the, you know, the main one, playing it all around, promoting the track. Then the Martinez brothers, then other artists too that like, they love the track. They were playing it. This was supposed to be released 5 months ago. But now, you know, with the release, it was nobody expect this. You know, when it was released, we saw the love for the people. It was everything so organically, so well, the support. In 5 days, we made it to number one. So let's see what's come next. I think the next ones, we hope that we hit the same.
Nowhere but up, I'm sure. And well, I want to close us out here with asking you maybe what excites you about the future of dance music.
What was your question again, sorry? The future of dance music?
Yeah, what excites you about the future of dance music?
Well, that I think now it's opportunities for everyone. I know there's going to be more music coming. Let's see what's next. To be honest, after pandemic, it was a big change for me to see all this, how everything is changing, the sounds. You know, the young producers too. There are many good young producers that I see in Europe that are like bringing new ideas, new stuff that I never heard before. So I don't know but everything is exciting from the future, you know. Let's see what comes in from our side and from the south. I think we want to work with more like from the South music, South American music. You know, like we're trying to bring now the own roots that we have, and then let's see after, because many labels right now are bringing so many different type of music. I get lost right now when I'm picking up or downloading music. There's so much music out.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah. I can't wait to see what else you guys release and put out. So we're just going to close off. We like to do a fun little speed round. These are just kind of really simple, really fun questions. No pressure. Just say whatever first comes to your mind and just kind of for fun. What is your guilty pleasure TV show?
I think a Peruvian, it's like a Peruvian jokes TV shows on YouTube. Yeah. I don't really watch TV. This is the thing.
Does YouTube
rabbit
holes, kind of?
I just use YouTube jokes, something like that. I'm lost with the TV shows nowadays.
That's fair. I am too. I don't think I really watch anything. Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Be able to talk to animals, probably.
That'd be fun. Who is your first celebrity crush?
Oh. Celebrity crush. Let's go with Megan Rose.
Okay. Do you think is the best beach in Miami?
About all the way north by Sunny Isles.
Okay. Black beans or refried?
Black beans.
What is your favorite go-to pastime that's not music related?
Cars.
Cars?
Yeah.
You like to build them or just race them or look at them?
I used to when I grew up, like race cars. It was the first thing I wanted. That's funny. My first thing I wanted to do, it was just work with cars instead of music.
Now you can just listen to really loud music and really nice, really fast car. There you go.
That's exactly what's the connection. Like, it was just connecting music, go drive fast, and then
can't beat that. What is your coffee order if you drink coffee?
Espresso.
And what's one song that you wish you would have written?
It's a reggae song, which is called Gonguana from Chile, and the name is Sentimiento Original.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us here. I'm so happy to have gotten to know you better. And I hope that, you know, those watching have gotten to know you better. I know that I'm super excited to see what else you do in From the South. And who knows, maybe you'll see me at your new festival in Comuna 13.
Yeah. You know, you're invited next year. It's gonna be on August.
Hell yeah, let's do it.